Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Fan Late Night with Sean Drotar.
Broncos take on the Kansas City Chiefs this Thursday, just a couple days away. They are in a better position than you'd expect. The Chiefs are reeling. They've lost two in a row. Patrick Mahomes does not look completely healthy. He's struggling with an injury. So we bring on Cecil Lammy. Make sure, by the way, all the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more directly in your inbox every weekday morning, including all the good stuff from Cecil. So sign up for free at 1043thefan.com for our sports daily, and you can get more from this man, Cecil Lammy. And Cecil, I'm going to ask you straight up, can the Broncos win this game by only scoring 18 points?
No. If the question is open-ended and it's like, can they win this game? Yeah, and not just because anything's possible, right? I often say that, like, what's likely and what's possible. Where everything's possible, what's likely? What's likely is that the Chiefs come to town and beat the Broncos. But there's a scenario where you could make out a path to victory that's not outlandish. It's not some homerism talking. It's not some, you know, great big Broncos fan really wants them to win. No, you look at this logically, and the way the Chiefs are coming in, the way that you can run the ball against them, the way defense they put together is pathetic and certainly not what they paid for with all the moves that they made this offseason, because we all knew their defense was their Achilles heel. It still is. It might be bigger than ever. So if you're the Broncos, there's a path to success. The question remains, will Denver actually follow that path?
And what makes you think that they could? Because, I mean, I'm not going to pile on. Oakland is not great. They scored 16. They lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars, but at least they scored 24. But even in the wins that they have, 20 points and 16 points against two teams that, by the way, are in, you know, they're losing teams. Two last place teams. So what makes you think that they can make this sort of quantum leap forward on just a couple days difference?
Well, it comes down to the ground game. Can Rich Scangarello have the wherewithal to actually stick with the ground game, or actually give Phillip Lindsay the proper size workload that he needs when Carlos Hyde has 26 carries and Marlon Mack has 29 carries? There's your recipe. And I know every game's different and blah, blah, blah. And certainly those offenses are better than the Broncos' offense. Certainly the Texans are. The Colts, you know, we could have a debate there about their players not named T.Y. Hilton or Marlon Mack. But when I look at this game, it comes back to Rich Scangarello. Like, and I wrote about this, it'll be in our Fan Sports Daily tomorrow morning. Whether you like it or not, Royce Freeman's still going to be involved. Like, they love that guy. I thought that Scangarello got a little bit defensive with my question today, which I thought was very gently put. Like, hey, the brakes seem to come on when Royce Freeman comes onto the field. Like, why is that? And they're still going to use Freeman, even when Lindsay is rolling, even when they've got their scripted plays, and they're fine on script. They're not good off script. You've got to be better than that, especially against this team. They have to play a perfect game, right? There is a path to victory in this one. It includes mistakes by the Chiefs, and it includes zero mistakes. We're talking perfect game. I don't mean they need to score on every drive. I'm not saying that. But they need to play perfect football, mistake-free football, in a Herculean effort to beat this Chiefs team.
Well, let's set Freeman aside for a minute and look then at Joe Flacco when it comes to mistakes. Now, I understand. I get it. He doesn't have the greatest offensive line when it comes to pass blocking. But they went and got a 34-year-old veteran, and they paid him what they paid him to avoid those mistakes. He's thrown an interception in five straight games. I've talked about it before. On average, and you know this as well, Cecil, you basically hand the other team 4 points when you throw an interception. Joe Flacco has done that in five consecutive games. What's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, we can all blame Noel Fant on the last one, basically. But I look at Flacco and I look at him still not being on the proper timing or rhythm yet with this offense. You know, again, I'll go back to the extra preseason game. That didn't do anything. Like, it didn't help. It wasn't any good. In fact, they were more timid about that extra preseason game. And I get it. Don't want to get anybody hurt, but still, it didn't do any good. The timing is still off with Flacco. There are times when he will hold on to the ball too long. Even though he's one of the fastest time before pass quarterbacks, which makes you go, oh, wait a second, the advanced data, the film, look at him. He's getting rid of the ball so quickly, 2.3 seconds, whatever the number is. Like, yeah, but there are still moments when he should be ripping passes before guys have made their breaks, and he's not. He's waiting for them to come open, and that's very un-Flacco-like, but it shows that maybe the timing isn't there. Maybe outside of Cortland Sutton, who always seems to get the same number of targets, you know, 7, 8, or 9 is what he's gotten this year in every single game, never less than that, never more than that. But, you know, so maybe outside of Sutton, it's kind of the struggles of Deshaun Hamilton to do anything of note positively. Okay, blocker, he's a fine blocker sometimes, but he's not doing anything as a receiver. You need a receiving weapon. Emmanuel Sanders has been hurt so much that you can't really get a look there, and I'm not blaming this on other people. The ball leaves Joe Flacco's hands. It is on him to make sure it gets to its destination. I'll go back to the Fant interception. I won't even blame Fant, who couldn't find the ball and then had it hit him in the back of the head. I'll blame Garrett Bowles. Go back and watch Bowles. He doesn't touch his man. His man runs right up the gut, basically, and gets in Joe Flacco's face, and Flacco has to kind of short step, not fully step into his throw. That caused it to be, you know, a delay. If Flacco would have had the time, just a, you know, half a second more, whatever, and would able to step into that throw, put it in front of Noah Fant, then we're talking about potentially, you know, a 40-yard gain, 50-yard touchdown, whatever the number was. But instead, because Garrett Bowles didn't block his man, Flacco had to kind of backfoot it a little bit, and that caused the ball to flutter, and Fant lost it. So Joe Flacco needs to be better. Again, perfect game. Perfect game and run the ball. I don't have a lot of faith that that's going to happen.
I'm kind of with you. We'll see. But I want to talk a little bit about Rich Gangarello. I heard your program earlier, and you were talking about him a little bit and had some pretty pointed words, and none of which I necessarily disagree with. But let me paint it with a slightly more positive angle. And we're talking with Cecil Lammy of The Fan. Follow him at Cecil Lammy on Twitter. And, of course, check him out Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Friday nights, right before this program. Cecil, over the last two games, I would say that when they were on, you and I agreed on this, when they're on script, they look good. Now,
yes,
not when they're off. I'm going to look at this glass half full. If I see a guy as a first-time coordinator, and we've seen that the scripts are good, in the back of my head, I go, okay, you know what? Maybe he's got this in him after all. Maybe it's in there. Maybe Rich Scangarello has in his head what it takes to be a skilled play caller in this league. Is it just more experience that he needs, or is there a blind spot that maybe he's missing?
Yeah, I think it's the flow, honestly. It's just recognizing the flow of a game, and I've regularly banged on the usage of Royce Freeman. It's incorrect. He's got two talented backs. This isn't about Freeman and his ability. Now,
right, Freeman's been perfectly good. There's been nothing wrong with it. It's not the problem this offense is Royce Freeman.
Freeman is looking for contact instead of looking for lanes. Again, I urge everyone to read my article tomorrow, 1043thefan.com. I've got the film. I show you the film where Freeman is missing wide open cutback lanes or wide open holes, and he's so powerful that he's like, I'm going to run over everybody. And so, you know, he's a good back. I don't want to sit here for 2 hours every day and bang on Royce Freeman. It's not about him. It's about what Scangarello is asking them to do, and it comes back to me as in terms of flow. Does he understand the flow when the offense is rolling and Philip Lindsay is rolling and doesn't need a breather, by the way? Why do you take him out on that first drive? Why do you go away from inside zone? Why do you start running east and west instead of north and south? What are you doing here? Why on a 3rd and 9 do you give a carry to Royce Freeman? Like, why on 3rd and 1 do you punch it up the gut with Philip Lindsay? Like, Lindsay, for everything that he does that's positive and amazing, special and wonderful, he's not a pile pusher. I don't put him in on 3rd and 1. Royce Freeman's 230 pounds. I put him in on 3rd and 1, and he's looking for collisions anyway. I mean, the one problem with Royce Freeman, and it is a problem, is that he's constantly looking for contact instead of looking for the cutback lanes. I think he's dancing too much. That's the probably what, you know, perturbed Scangarello a little bit at me today, is when I just asked him, do you think he's dancing too much? And then he went on to talk about what a great receiver he is. Like, that wasn't the question. Watch the film. The guy's dancing too much. His timing's off. And I think Andy Janovich forces him to be better in terms of timing. So I'd even like this, even the misuse of Janovich, which I didn't put in my article. Now I might go rewrite it before it hits the press tomorrow morning. Like, Janovich, you know, put him in front of Freeman, forced him to be the patient runner that he can be. The talent is there. Royce Freeman is not a bad back. I think he's being misused at this point by Rich Scangarello.
He is Cecil Lammy. Catch him tomorrow live right here. Fantasy questions tomorrow night, by the way, as if everything holds the same. So save those up for Cecil. And make sure, like I said, that you go to 104.3 The Fan, sign up for all of this stuff so you can get everything from Cecil, from James Marilat, from everybody on the digital team in your inbox in the morning. Read it with your coffee. Makes perfect sense. Thanks a lot, Cecil.
Be good, Sean.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.